Gandhi Kata. Versión original. Módulo 2. El abogado que se transformó en Mahatma. Tercera parte.
When he was a child of four, he was quite scared of going out at night in darkness. So he said, I don't want to go in darkness. I am afraid. There might be thieves, there might be ghosts, there might be wild animals, we don't know. I can't go out in the darkness. So there was a maid in the Gandhian household who was called Rambha, who was almost the age of Gandhi's mother. And she said, oh, why are you so much afraid? Just recite the name of Rama. And if you recite the name of Rama, there's nothing to fear. This was when Gandhi was 4 years old. So he started doing that, and then he found that there was nothing to fear. And later on in his writings, he said, at that time, I had more faith in the maid than in Rama or in the name of God. But because she had said that there's nothing to fear, I went on reciting the name. That was at the beginning of his life. This was in South Africa, in Johannesburg, in the middle of his life. When he fell down, he uttered the same words, Hey Rama. On the 30th of January 1948, when the assassin shot him, there were the three bullets on his chest, the same words came from his lips. He died with the name of God on his lips. So Gandhi's life began with the word name of God in the beginning. At the center of his life, the same name of God. At the end of his life, it was the same name of God. Gandhi's life was a straight line. All the three points, beginning, middle, and the end, they all pointed towards God. Within a couple of minutes, he was again conscious. And as soon as he was conscious, he said, we must go and sign, because I have said that I will be the first person to write it, my name. So there were people surrounding him and said, we are only wondering whether we should take you to the hospital or to take you to to Reverend Oak, who was John Oak, who was willing to take him to his own home. But he said, no, I have said that I shall be the first person to sign my name on the registrar, so I must go. But you can't walk, you have been hit so hard. Then if kindly, can the registrar be brought here? So they had to bring the registrar there, and he signed it. And then the second thing that he asked, what has happened to Mir Alam? Because he knew Mir Alam who had hit him. He was only one of the six, but he was the man known. So they said, oh, he has already been arrested. Please be kind to him, because he took me to be a liar, and that is why he hit me. That was his wrong impression about me, but he had understood me as a liar. So please be kind to him. Don't punish him too harsh. That was the second desire. And the third thing, I would like to send an appeal to the Indian community, but I can't write with my hand. So if I, with the broken lip, if I can dictate a message, can somebody write it down? So somebody stood by his side, took down a little note in which he said, it's unfortunate that the persons who hit me were Muslims and I happen to be a Hindu. And please, Indian community, don't consider it to be a conflict between the two communities. It is only by a chance that a Muslim has hit a Hindu. In fact, I would like that the blood which stained my clothes with that same piece of cloth, the two hands of the Indian community, the Hindus and the Muslims, would be clasped tighter together. These were the three desires after coming to consciousness. Signed the signature first, because that was the call of truth. Forgiveness to the person who was violent, that was the second. Third, integrity between the communities of India. And the last satyagraha, which really made Gandhi famous, which was the first satyagraha, which actually succeeded in the chief two issues on which the satyagraha was raised. There was a law which was interpreted as the marriage law in South Africa, that any person who gets married, if the marriage is done by the Christian rituals or in the church or officially in the registrar's office, then that marriage is valid. But by any other method or ritual, all marriages are invalid. So the Hindus did not register in the office. The Hindus did not go to the churches to get married. They had their marriage around the fire. Hindu marriages were illegal. Muslim marriages were illegal. And they were the majority of the Indians living in South Africa. So all Indian marriages were illegal, making their children illegal. So if the children are illegal, they could not inherit the wealth from their parents. So it would automatically go to the government. So this was opposed. And the second thing that was opposed was every Indian after a certain age, I think it was about 10 or so, beyond 10, if it is an 11-year-old boy, every Indian living in India, living in South Africa, had to pay £3 tax every year. So this was also opposed. These two were the main issues. One day, Gandhi was witnessed in the common kitchen of the Phoenix settlement, where Mrs. Gandhi was preparing the chapatis and Gandhi was baking him over the oven. And there was a young colleague of theirs called Rawji Bhai Patel, who was cutting the vegetables for preparing the food for the community. And they were doing it, and Gandhi, they were doing it silently. And Gandhi broke the silence and he said, "Did you hear?" That's all that he asked. "Did you hear?" And there were only three persons in the kitchen. And so the person to whom the question was addressed understood it. When you don't mention your spouse's name, there's a custom in India that a man doesn't use the wife's name and the wife doesn't use the husband's name. So we say, "Did you hear?" Customer understood that it was for her. So she said, "What did I hear?" So he explained in a very, I would say, very un-Gandhian way. Gandhi said, "From today onwards, we are no longer legal husband and wife. You are only my kept." So Kasturba was furious. I said, "What are you talking about? We have been living together. We have had our marriage in the fire as the witness, and you talk." Gandhi said, "No, it's not me who is speaking. It's General Spots who says that. He has said that this law means this." She said, "Well, General Spots is very queer. He introduces new laws every few months. And this is something absolutely wrong. We must resist it." And I think Gandhi wanted Kasturba to enter into that, and so he said, yes, you are quite right, we must resist it, and we have decided to resist it. Then a few more chapatis, and Gandhi asked the question again, what are you going to do? So Kasturba said, what can we do about it? Gandhi said, whatever we can do, you too can do. You can go to jail. Gandhi said, you too can jail. Oh-ho, that means you want us to go to jail. Gandhi said, not me, but General Sabat ought to go to jail, you to go to jail. But what will happen? He said, why are you asking me a question? In the Phoenix, you know, there had been two satyagrahas before that, so they knew that in the jail, what kind of food was served. So Kasturba knew, what shall I eat there? Because for a few months now I'm on fruit diet and they will not give me any fruit. So Gandhi said, you ask for food, but if they don't give you, then you fast. So you want me to fast also, not only to go to jail, not me, but General Smuts wants you to fast. So it took Kasturba less than a minute to decide. And she said, all right, I shall also join the movement, but I may die, because I may not live, I may fast, I may not live. And then Gandhi uttered a sentence, if you die in a prison, I will worship you as Jagadamba, the mother of the earth. If you die in the prison, I will worship you as the mother of the earth. This was said in 1913. In 1944, Kasturba actually did die in a prison. And that was the first sentence that Gandhi said. In 1944, she was the mother of the earth because she died in a prison. Gandhi had remembered that I said this word. So Kasturba decided to go to jail. Three other women from the ashram joined her. 12 men also joined. So there was a group of 16 people. And this satyagraha later on became the largest satyagraha ever in South Africa. Gokhale had asked Gandhi from India, saying that your issues are quite moral and quite justified, but how many satyagrahas are you expecting to join you in fighting against the government? Gandhi had replied, minimum 16, because we have 16 in our ashram who are going to join. Minimum 16, maybe about 60, 65 people can join. But if there is only one person who is resisting, it will be me who will resist it until death. That was the reply. But it so happened that this satyagraha was joined by at least 3,000 to 5,000 people. But the leader of the first successful massive satyagraha in history, first massive satyagraha and which became successful in history, was a woman. And the woman was Kasturba, because Gandhi went to jail later. Gandhi had gone to jail in the previous two satyagrahas, but in this satyagraha, Gandhi followed Kasturba. Kasturba was the leader of the first group, which started with 16 people. It was a very enthralling experience when indentured laborers came from farms, from mines, and from railways, who had come from India to South Africa, signing their names for 5 years, said they would work for their masters for 5 years, and after that they would be free. They were called indentured people. And when they heard that Kasturba and Gandhi, and also Gandhi's three elder sons had also joined, They said, we would also fight because we don't want to pay those £3 as taxes, and our marriages are also illegal. We want to fight. So groups and groups and groups came and joined. And I think an incident happened which was very significant. They did not know how many people there would be to join the Satyagraha, which had started a march from one point of South Africa to the border of South Africa, because they had decided to inform the government and not take the permission of crossing the border. Civil disobedience was what was decided by them. So when food was prepared for 100 people, there would be news that another group of 50 people are coming. So they had not enough for them. The problem was, how can we manage this inflow of immigrants in the Satyagraha, in the march? Gandhi said, I take up the responsibility of serving the food. But that is where it becomes difficult. If you give them less than what they need, then that becomes difficult. I take the responsibility. So there was a wooden spoon, big long one, and big vessels in which the food was cooked. Initially, it was decided that one big loaf of bread and an ounce of sugar would be given to each Satyagrahi. But the Indian community in South Africa said, no, we may not join you in the march, but we are sympathetic with you, so we shall give you in kind. So they said rice and dal and vegetables, and so all of that was cooked together, and Gandhi was serving everyone, and there was a line of people waiting to take the food. And this is where the incident took place. There was a big queue, people waiting, those who came from mines, and they were poor, uneducated, speaking different languages. And a woman with a broken aluminum dish came and put forward her hand to get some food in it. Gandhi took the rice prepared in it, put it on the plate, and a woman did not move from the line because she thought it was too little. She had walked 10 miles that day, and such little food after that. And Gandhi describes this incident, that the woman did not know my language, I did not know her language, but we knew each other's language through our eyes. She was complaining that the food was not enough, and I was telling her that we have to deal with all these people, so we cannot give you more than this. So within a moment, after this dialogue of eyes, she just shifted by the side. She went and uttered two Tamil words, and I'm sure Fernando would understand this much of Tamil. She said, Rumba Santosham, I am quite satisfied. And that was the moment when Gandhi had his deep faith in the people of India. Yesterday I mentioned that in answering Dr. Mott's question, what is it that has sustained you in times of crisis? Gandhi said, my faith in the people of India. That the poorest person can still be willing to sacrifice for somebody who comes from behind for the society. Even the poorest Indian, I would say a poorest human being, is willing to sacrifice something for another suffering person. That was the faith that Gandhi had. During that march, they had to cross little streamlets of water because it was hilly side. Some of the water was very fast, and march of thousands of people, men, women, children, old people. One of the women was having a child in her hand, and they wanted to jump over the brook, and the child slipped from her hand down into the stream, and the stream was a mountain stream, very fast. And people, before people could decide, they went away, far away. And so there was complete silence, and all of them said, what has happened? And what had happened was obvious. There was one little voice coming from this side, said, what has happened has happened. What has gone is not going to return, but the march continues, and I am going to continue in the march. This was said by the woman who had lost her child. I am going to continue in the march. That was the moment of faith that Gandhi had. So that was the satyagraha that Gandhi practiced. And I think we should now hear a song. And I know that you don't know the language, but I can tell you that there quite a big number of people in that march were the indentured laborers, and they spoke either Tamil language or Telugu language. And this song, also written originally in Gujarati and now translated in Hindi, which you are going to hear, is written in Telugu folklore style. So we hear this song now.
विजय प्राप्ति का हेतु
By the time that Gandhi wrote Hind Swaraj, which is one of his seminal books, he was completely committed to nonviolence. And he thought of culture of nonviolence. And one of the ideas which was a great contribution of Gandhi to Indian political thought was that of purity of means. If you have peace as an objective, your means of obtaining peace should also be peaceful. Purity of means, simply defined, is as the ends, so the means. If you want to have a society which was just, you cannot reach there by using means which are unjust. You have to use the same kind of means. And this applies not only to politics, but to every aspect of life. And Gandhi thought of this particular principle because even from the point of view of reason, it had good arguments in its favor, because the means influence the ends. If you use violent means, it also ultimately influences the ends where you reach. If you use untruthful means, it also influences the means. The means also influences the life and personality of the persons who are using the means. We have had experience of that, for example, during some of these movements in India, some of us, and when I say us, I was one of them, went underground because we wanted to avoid arrest, and we went underground, which was not exactly according to Gandhi's definition. It was something treading away from truth. In underground life, things have to be kept secret. When there were funds, the funds were allotted to one person, and he could not keep open accounts. So others would suspect that he had misused them, and so there was distrust among the Satyagrahis themselves. Untruthful means made people untruthful also. Oh, there is this kind of money, we can use it. Nobody's going to know how we used it. That kind of thing happens. It's the means that influence the character of the persons. It's the means that influence the result. There's a whole country which they thought that there should be a society in which the state shall wither away. And how could it be done? It could be done by beginning by dictatorship of the proletariat. We want to wither away the state. There should be no state at the end. How do we do it? By making the state stronger, a dictatorship. And history has witnessed the result of that. So in every aspect of life, these means are important. In economics, in social affairs, if you want to struggle, the method of struggle should be on the same lines. Otherwise, you send the wrong message. If you want truth, you can't send the message of truth by lying. If you say there is cruelty on the part of your enemies, you don't want to eradicate the cruelty by being cruel yourself. Gandhi had learned from history, from his own experience as a Satyagraha in South Africa and later on, that no personal act of violence. It may be killing, it may be burning houses, it may be throwing thrones, it may be stabbing people, or whatever kind of. No violence has ever succeeded. No individual act. Because the violence, the end that is meant, still continues. It may end temporarily, but the violence still continues. And the idea that nonviolence can be, or not nonviolence, violence can be crushed down by using more violence is equally foolish, or if not more, because violence breeds violence. Guns do not create bread and butter. Guns breed more guns and heavier guns. And crushing or other methods of using more powerful methods of keeping violence of a group or of a large group of society is the only means of keeping peace. It's not peace that comes out of it, because all violent revolutions bring in counter-violent revolutions. There's bound to be counter-violence. And the character of violence is, a counter-violence has to be more than the original violence. If I give one slap, and if you want to answer me in the same way, one slap would not be enough. You would say, I will give you two in return instead of one. And so from there, we go on increasing until we come to nuclear weapons. That is what has happened in the so-called Cold War that we have heard between two big nations. It's only piling of weapons of death. So there has to come to a stop to it in order for the human society to survive. It's a very practical thing. It's nothing ideal. It's nothing to do with some kind of idealism or something abstract. It's a very practical. If mankind has to save itself from massive suicide, it has to go to some other way other than violent. And this is what Gandhi tried to practice. When Gokhale said, I want you, and Gokhale had a lot of faith in Gandhi, to introduce spirituality into politics. And I think Gandhi's way of introducing spirituality into politics was the insistence upon using of pure means for pure ends. And now we come to the last song.
Raah le lu, sidhi raah le lu, mere asli udesh ki raah le lu. Raah le lu, sidhi raah le lu, mere asli udesh ki raah le lu. सो तो है हरि के हाथ में पहुँचू ना पहुँचू सो तो है हरि के हाथ में मार्ग की पसंद किंतु मैं ही करूँ मेरे असली उद्देश्य की राह ले लूं पाठ में जो थक थक जाऊं थक करके बैठ जाऊं बाट में जो थक जाऊं थक करके बैठ जाऊं जितना चला उतना आगे बढ़ूं मेरे असली उद्देश्य की राह ले जला के कैसे शीतल बनूं मेरे असली उद्देश्य की राह ले लूं कांटे बोने से कभी फूल नहीं उगते कांटे बोने से कभी फूल नहीं उगते कल्प वृक्ष बोके फल फूल से भरू मेरे असली उद्देश्य की राह ले सत्य ही का साधक हूँ सत्य ही की राह ले सत्य ही का साधक हूँ सत्य ही की राह ले सत्य ही के साधन से सत्य को बनूं मेरे असली उद्देश्य की राह ले लूं राह ले लूं सीधी राह ले लूं मेरे असली उद्देश्य की राह ले लूं असली उद्देश्य की राह ले लूं मेरे असली उद्देश्य की राह ले लूं
Tomorrow will begin with ashram life and then we'll have detailed account of the first, not necessarily exactly the first, but the first and another satyagraha, first two satyagrahas that Gandhi led within 10 years of coming back from South Africa to India. And today we ended this. Thank you very much.